Would you bow with me in a word of prayer as we prepare our hearts and our minds for the message this morning? Amen. Amen. Two gospel lessons this morning. One, from the gospel according to Matthew. Jesus is up in Caesarea Philippi, and he's with his disciples. They've been in ministry a while, and Jesus says to those who are following him, "Who do people say that I am?" And they tell them what they hear, and they tell them what they think. And then Peter says, "You are the Christ." Jesus has said, "Who do you say I am?" And Peter says, "The Christ, who do you say I am?" Where is your focus? Where is your focus? Is it on the Christ? Do you say that Jesus is the Christ in your life? Now, there's the Matthew. Now look at Mark. Jesus is at home in Capernaum, in his house. A crowd is around and in, and four men bring their friend to be healed. The only way that they can get in is to go right straight through the ceiling. And so they lower him down, and the man is healed. Here's what I want to take out of that. How is it that you are going to get where you're going? You got to have friends, because you're never alone. So now take those two gospel lessons and simply combine them. Who do you say that Jesus is? How are you going to keep your focus? And how are you going to get there? How are you going to get there? All right. What a wild and crazy week. I guess we can say that just about every time. Knowing that we are watching this service from all around the world, one of the things that is just strange is the amount of smoke that is here. All of those California fires, over 500, almost 600 fires that have broken out in California, and now that smoke is just rolling and covering the entire western half of the United States. I saw a picture last night of an airplane that was coming in over those fires at night, and it was just eerie to see what was going on. What a strange, strange time that we live in. I want to give you two words. The first word is ikigai. Ikigai is a Japanese word, and my translation of it is simply to ask, what is it that gets you out of bed in the morning? What is your purpose? What is your meaning? Why do you still draw breath and every day get up and do what you do? What is your ikigai? And the second word is hope. Hope, because these two words are very, very powerfully linked. What is your ikigai and what is your hope? Now, a lot of people will think that as you are going through life, that it goes on a pretty steady course. No, that's not true at all. Life takes some very strange bends and twists when you expect them, when you absolutely don't expect them. And it's just strange to see how this is. So what I want you to see, and I want you to look at this in your own life. How is it over the years that your ikigai, your hope, has changed? But also then, with that, how is it that your hope has changed? Think about this. When you were a child, did you have an ikigai, a purpose? I mean, your purpose was just to be a kid. And what were the things that you would have hoped for? Well, you would have hoped for a birthday present, and you would have hoped for stuff, and you would have hoped for very, very simple childish things. But then you grew and you became a teenager. Now you are beginning to develop that ikigai, your purpose, your meaning inside of you. And with that, you develop a set of hopes that goes right with it in order to fulfill that meaning and purpose. And then you grew. You grew into your 20s and into adulthood. And then your ikigai begins to form even more. Now, remember, for some people, there's never a point in your life when you can say, here is my meaning, here is my purpose. It's something that we move to, move through, and flow in all of our life. And with that came the hope that we had in our 20s. Now, you can see that the things that you're hoping for in your 20s are not the things that you were hoping for when you were a child. It evolves. As you grow, your ikigai and your hope grow together. And then more of life happened, and perhaps it was your career, or perhaps it was starting a family. Perhaps it was losing someone that you love. Perhaps it was going on new adventures. All of these different things, and you grow into your 30s and into your 40s, and your ikigai changes more. Sometimes it becomes more focused, and sometimes it just completely alters. But with that go your hopes. What is it that you hope for with that meaning and purpose? This holds true all the way through our lives. It used to be that we would get to the age of 65, and for many of us, there was a retirement. We have been in the same career all of our lives, and here's your gold watch, and we won't see you tomorrow. Goodbye. But things have changed. Life has changed. Culture has changed. And what that means is that retirement age, for many of us, does not mean the end or the decline. It simply means a change. And that change can take us anywhere. Good heavens, you might still have another 40 years left to live. It is amazing to see how people in their maturity mold their ikigai, that meaning and that purpose, and they fill it with hope. Or sometimes they fill it with despair. Did you know that one of the fastest growing problems that we have, not just in the United States, but in the world, is loneliness? The government of Great Britain a few years back actually created a ministry of loneliness because it was such a problem in Great Britain. This is true with us also. It feels at times that we are just alone. We are just alone. And Matthew would say, who do you say Christ is? What are you focused on? And Mark would say, how are you going to get there? Knowing that you are never alone. Who are you going to focus on? How are you going to get there? You are never alone. Even when it feels like we are alone, the reality is that we are surrounded by people, surrounded by friends, surrounded by family, some of them far, far away, some of them close. But we never need to be alone because of that. Now, let me talk then a little bit about some of the isolating factors. This week, I've been reading a book by Bruce Feiler. It is called Life is in the Transitions. And I want to share with you one of the concepts that he shares. And of course, I won't do it as well as Bruce. You need to go buy the book. But he says this: there are disruptions in our lives when we are pursuing our ikigai. Okay? What are you focusing on? What are you focusing on? Our meaning, our purpose. You would think that it is one straight arrow all the way through life. Absolutely, it is not. We get disrupted all the time. Now, there are four different kinds of disruptions. This is what Mr. Feiler says. He says there are those disruptions that happen to just us, and then there are those disruptions that happen to everyone. Then there are those disruptions that we choose, and there are those that we don't choose, they just happen to us. So now I want to show you just a little bit about those and relate these. How does this fit into your life right now? All right, Four balls. Here's the first ball. This would represent the stuff that happens to us. This is 5% of the disruptions that come into our lives. And these are the disruptions that happen to just us, and we choose them. I had a friend a couple weeks ago who said, "Oh, my boss is just a train wreck. I cannot take this. I cannot stand this anymore." And she voluntarily said, 2 week notice, "I quit." She voluntarily took on a disruptor for herself. All right? There's one kind. Now, there's another kind. This disruptor is the one that happens involuntarily, or rather happens voluntarily, that happens to all of us. There are things that we can do. For instance, a lot of times when you see a nation, any nation, that has a vote, and if they choose to install a new government, that's something that we together have happened to us. Now, these two are the voluntary ones. These are the ones that we choose. 5%, 8%. That means 13%. That means 87% of our life is going to be filled with the others. So here then, this would be the stuff. This is about 38% of what happens to us as society, happens to all of us involuntarily, happens to us as a society, and we didn't have any choice. We did not ask for this, request this, or want this. That's really easy to find right now. When you look at COVID, when you look at the California wildfires, we did not choose those. In South Dakota today, there is a huge amount of smoke from over 1,000 miles away coming up. None of us asked for this, nor did we expect it, and yet here it is, and that's what we have to deal with. It's a phenomenal disruptor. Well, then, comes the stuff that is almost 50% of what happens in disruptors in our lives. These are the things that happen to each of us personally, individually, that we did not ask for. It's one thing for you to go in and submit your 2 week notice to your boss. It's another thing completely for your boss to say to you, "Oh, by the way, you're fired." All of these disruptors that we have that are just incredibly powerful in our lives, all of these disruptors that really throw us off, and they break our focus, but not only our focus, they can also really affect our ikigai, our purpose, our meaning. So in my life, I'm a pastor. I've been a pastor for a number of years. Well, someday there will come a day when I will choose to retire and I will choose to do something new. Now, that I know that retirement is coming, and although I might choose a date on it, I'm not the one that chooses the retirement. That we simply know that's coming. What then will that say for my meaning and purpose? I'm going to have to adjust. I'm going to have to look and see where I'm at, what's going on, how's my health, how's my financial situation, what's going on in the communities that I live, what's going on in my family. Now I'm going to have to adjust. Where do I go with my meaning, with my purpose? The question that Matthew would ask, that Jesus would ask us is, who do you say that I am? Who are you focusing on? Now, for many of us, right now, that time of turmoil is here. For many of us, that time of unsettledness, that time of chaos is right here, right now. So the first question that we have to ask is, who do you say that I am? When we are able to say, Jesus makes a difference in our lives and helps us to focus. And this is easier said than done. There are so many distractions out there. There are so many disruptors out there. Just when we think we have work figured out, now the car dies. Just when we have the car figured out, now we get sick. Just when we get healthy, now something else happens, and something else, and something else. Sneezies comes in threesies. And it's not uncommon at all for us to get hit and hit and hit. And for many of us, this is that moment. Okay, so I want you to hear this. If this is what you are walking through, this is normal. It's not normal for you, but it's normal for humanity. I want you to know you're not the first one to walk through this. I want you to know you're not alone. You're not alone. There are those in our communities, our families, our churches who understand who you are and what is going on. All right? Who do you say that Jesus is? Can you keep your eyes on him and focused? But then comes that question that comes from four men lowering their friend down through a roof. How are you going to get there? I love the power of that story. There was a man who was paralyzed. He could do nothing. The way that he became healed was simply because the friends around him said, "We will help. We will take you. We will get you there." When your ikigai gets flipped upside down, when your hope gets flipped upside down with it, and life is just upside down, you are not alone. There are others who are walking through these changes also. This has really, really been brought home to me. There's so many things when I'm working with the local church that I'm saying, now what do I do? How do I do it? I don't know how. Oh, that's right. Only every other single pastor in the entire United States and much of the world is walking through this exact same thing. I know that I'm not alone. And so it's been powerful and helpful for me to reach out in my own community to other pastors and to say, how are you dealing with this? And how are you dealing with this? And they get to be my stretcher bearers. And I get to be theirs. This is what I want you to see. Who do we keep our focus on? We keep our focus on Christ. Who do you say that I am? Now, how are you going to get where you need to go? Not by doing it your own self. You're not alone. You're never alone. Someone else is your stretcher bearer, and you in turn get to be their stretcher bearer. It's not about you. It is about us. Let me say that again. Everything that's going on in your life right now, it's not about you. You're not alone. If it's not about you, then what it means is that it is about all of us together. When you lose your job, that is grief to me. When your health is broken, this matters to me. When you have a loved one who dies, I'm part of that process. We're together. Who is your circle? And how can you reach out to be building and strengthening gradually that circle, even in the midst of the chaos? This is who we are. And what I want you to see is that word hope. Even when things change, we are in the middle of hope. Whether it's things that change in that 5% of the time that we volunteered for, or that 8% of the time that we didn't volunteer for that 38% of the time when we just get hit as a population, or that 50% of the time when these disruptors are absolutely the things that blindside us, take us by surprise, and knock us right down. I'm inviting you to get up. I'm inviting you to stand up again when you get knocked down, but you don't have to do it alone. There should be someone next to you to help you with this. But let it begin then with you being there for them. It's really hard to develop friendships. It's really hard to develop relationships in the midst of crisis. And so what I invite you to do is to be looking and asking, how then can I reach out? How then can I be there for someone else in the midst of their chaos? May it be. May it be this week that you are able to reach out in, through, and past the disruptors, to reach out to others, to let them know they are never alone. Where is your focus? Who do you say that Christ is? Keep that focus. But now, you get to be the stretcher bearer for someone else. How are you going to get there? We help each other. We work with each other. We guide each other. We are each other's stretcher bearers. May it be this week that you know the power and the healing of Jesus Christ as you walk together, never alone. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you pray with me? Lord, guide us. It's one thing in our heads to say that we're never alone, because it feels like we're alone so many times. We pray that you would help us to truly be never alone as we reach out to others, as others can reach out to us. Lord, guide us that we may be never alone. In Jesus' name, amen.